This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Now, when I grew up in a little old town, a little town of Pietermaritzburg, all those many years ago, the stores that we were getting clothing from with my mother was Esmalls, some store down somewhere downtown Pietermaritzburg. And then we'd upgrade. There was Sales House when it was better days in the Darby household, I'd imagine. And then there was Edgar's. Sales House, in truth, was just like almost like the BE subsidiary of Edgar's, like Perm Bank was to Nedbank. I'm sure it's the story of us in many households across the country. I mean, those were the big pimping days, right, for Edgar's. But that was then. The fashion retailer has been through a lot since, over the past two decades, if not longer. I look back at when SAB unbundled Edcon. And yes, the brewer once owned Edgar's, and implored that management for the timing. It seemed just perfect, right? The 2000s haven't been kind to Edgar's and to any big department store in any mature retail market in the world. What has significantly hampered Edgar's, though, was the private equity buyout that happened sometime in 2007 that just lumped the company with debt. Now, I want to bring to listeners almost in a comparison here. It's like Manchester United pre and post the Glazer family, right? After their purchase, one of the world's richest and biggest clubs has been saddled with debt, and that the family had to use to buy it in the first place. So how many Champions League titles since 2005 when the Glazers got involved? I think it was just one in 2008. That is more or less something similar case when it comes to Edgar's. They haven't been winning many medals since that private equity buyout. It has hampered the company and it has tried to trade itself out of the trouble ever since. Markets have changed, new entrants, not settled with the debt that they have eaten up Edgar's market share. It's now at a point where it's reducing floor space, the amount of stores it has, and has amongst its shareholders the PIC, and landlords of the country's biggest malls. Virtually the entire retail sector is now somehow invested in the future of Edgar's. This week, Grant Patterson, CEO since May 2017, announced the sale of its 104-store Edgar's Active and High Key chain to Cape Town-based retailer Footgear. Joining us now to talk about that deal and the company itself is Grant, and he was supposed to be in the studio, but he's on the line with us in our Deal Maker segment. Evening, Grant.
Hey, good evening. Thank you for having me.
All right. Before we get into the mechanics of the latest deal, I want to get into you. I mean, you were central in attracting Walmart to buy Massmart all those years ago, and after that left the company. It was the biggest FDI investment in the country at the time. Why did you choose to come back and face the challenge of fixing Edgar's and Edcon?
I got involved with Edcon just after the previous restructuring, where a few of the players asked me to serve as a non-executive director on the board and assist the CEO in the turnaround.
Yep.
And so that was my entry in. Mm. Thereafter, I've just been, depends on how you view it, either the right guy at the right place or the wrong guy at the wrong place.
Yep.
So I've really just felt the need to stand up and, you know, help it recover.
I mean, you've been in the retail world for some years now and follow your career as a writer. What do you think Edgar's didn't do whilst the world was changing all around it?
Yeah, look, a lot. As you described, once you're settled with that level of debt, you've got a bunch of people flying in once a month, private equity experts telling you what to do. A lot of them knowing nothing about the market, knowing nothing about South Africa. You do everything wrong. I think that's what happened there. You know, not only did they not reinvest in the business, but they started expanding without any real good cause. So they didn't respond to the downturn after 2008. They then ran out of money, sold the credit book, messed up the credit. And then finally, good people started leaving.
Yeah.
And they started messing up the product.
I mean, Edgar's reminds me somewhat of what happened, I guess, to Pick n Pay, back to your its reliance on big store formats. How do these companies fall into trap? I guess maybe I'm just also complacency in amongst the debt issues that it has had over the past decade or more.
Yeah, I don't really think there's any problem with large stores, by the way, and I'm also not sure I believe in the department store story.
Okay, cool.
And that perhaps you talked about, but we can talk about more of that if you want.
Yeah. Yes, I'd like to.
I do think there's a natural cycle.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's fun as a retailer. You've got a format. You're rolling out new stores. You know, every time you open a new store, you make more money.
Yeah.
That runs out after a while. And now you start putting in new stores and you start making less money.
Mm.
And then arrogance, laziness, it's a natural cycle of business, I think. And then that set of management needs to be cleaned out.
Mm.
And then, you know, new guys need to come in and try and see if they can recover it, if that's possible.
Mm. Now, you spoke about big department stores, that you're still a believer in that. Give us some feedback, some feeling into that.
Yeah, so 2 points on that is that, you know, for those of us fortunate enough to travel around the world and see a real department store, you know, and perhaps the most famous of all is Harrods, London. Now, not everyone's seen that, but Harrods is a giant building with 7 floors on it and restaurants and luxury brands all over the place. So the first main point is Edgar's isn't really a department store.
Okay.
Edgar's and Jet sell private brand apparel, home and beauty. So first of all, department stores, are shrinking, but I still think they've got a role to play. But even if that narrative's correct, Edgar's isn't really a department store. It's a large apparel retailer.
Mm. Okay. Now you've been there for a while, just over 2 years. I mean, there've been great many attempts to turn around the retailer. Do you think now the reduction of its store footprint across the country, it was always central to any of these plans in periods past?
Yes, my philosophy, that I've built up over the years, somewhat informed by the fact that I studied engineering, is that the way one goes around fixing mistakes is, first of all, to have an honest reflection of what the errors are.
Yep.
And then you must just simply undo them.
Mm.
You know, it's if you're trying to fix something that didn't cause the problem, it's not going to get fixed. And I think, you know, to the extent that I've been able to study what my predecessors have done, they've tried to fix a problem of having too much space by adding more space.
Yeah.
Or by having too many international brands, by having more international brands.
Mm.
And it needed a bit of a, let's just write down the mistakes. Undo them. So we have to sort out the credit by taking control of the credit book again. We opened too much space. We need to reverse that and shut down the space. And we got distracted by opening up too many different types of brands, too many small stores, too many subsidiary brands. So we're just going to reverse out of that. And then we must just fix the product and fix the service. And I think then it's going to come right. Hopefully we've got enough time and the economy is kind enough to us. But we're in our first quarter through, so quarter's 3 months long.
Yep.
And we're certainly on plan and maybe even a bit ahead of plan for the first quarter. So I'm seeing signs of it already turning.
Now, there was one brand out of all these various branches of Edgar's that came out. Was it the Red Square one?
It's Red Square, yeah.
Was said to be the successful one. Was that a more painful decision for you to also bring that into under the Edgar's umbrella?
No, not at all. This is perhaps an interesting one, and it's the best example of what went wrong. Is Edgar's had this beautiful Edgar's beauty business. You know, beauty is the anchor of a good large apparel store.
Yep.
And their brands are exclusive, and Edgar's had a unique offering. And that drew the most important customer into the store, which is the female mature shopper.
Yeah.
That is the primary consumer of skincare, fragrance, and color, which are the beauty categories.
Mm.
Now, whilst having that great business, which was the anchor of Edgar's, they then decided to open up its own competitor called Red Square in a standalone store far away from the Edgar's store.
Okay.
Now giving that customer the excuse not to come into the main store. So if you wanted your beauty product, you just go to the Red Square.
Mm.
We lost, we competed with ourselves and we drew the customer out. So, you know, in my first few months at Edgar's, I met many, many people who'd say to me, I just don't shop at Edgar's anymore.
Yeah.
When I listened to them and asked them questions, however, they did shop at Boardman's, they did shop at Red Square, they did shop at Accessorize, La Senza, Inglot, Dune, you know, all these brands that used to be inside the Edgar's that we put outside the Edgar's. So it actually makes somewhat of a logical sense just to put them all back in the Edgar's store. They're really good brands, and the customer, you know, will come back to Edgar's.
I mean, that Red Square example is kind of fitting. Like, Woolworths also now has built up a similar kind of a Red Square, something comparable inside the Woolworths store, doing exactly what you're saying now.
Yes, you know, I think it's natural that, you know, it's been 10 years of of weakness in Edgars.
Yeah.
I think the other listed fashion retailers have benefited, fed off the carcass of Edgars and Jet.
Yep.
And they've correctly taken the opportunity to try and take some of this very dominant market share that Edgars and Jet used to have. So, you know, I think it's the weakness of Edgars over time that has opened the door for those other chains to get into the market. However, you know, they'll, you know, as they sit there now watching us, they'll be going, oh, it's getting tougher again.
Yeah.
Because Edgars is coming back.
Now, amongst your shareholders, I mean, you have landlords now who need Edgars filling the space in their malls. Just how much more can Edgars shrink in size without hurting, I guess, your shareholders' interests?
Yeah, so, you know, we have a very clear plan that we've agreed with all of our shareholders.
Yep.
So they know very clearly by store, you know, we've got, let's say, 1,100, 1,200 stores at the moment.
Mm.
All those landlords have a list of all those stores. They know which ones we want to make smaller,
yep,
which ones we want to make bigger, which ones we want to renew, and which ones we want to give back.
Mm.
That plan is very clearly known by all players, and we will just implement that plan over the next few years. We've actually mostly completed it. So actually the financial restructuring took a very long time.
Yep.
And during the 2 years of essentially getting everyone around the table to do the financial restructuring, we're probably two-thirds of the way through the shrinkage.
Yeah.
And from here onwards, it'll be a more normal level of shrinkage where we will just close a store perhaps on its lease expiry as opposed to, you know, emergency shutdown, which is what we've been doing up until now.
I mean, apart from reducing, I guess, the store footprint and this week's deal with Footgear being part of that, what else does Edgars need to do to return back and be relevant again in the shopper's mind?
Yeah, so there's three things, yep, I think people expect from the Edgars and Jet experience.
Yep.
You know, and let me just say that the management team and our employees have been, you know, distracted somewhat by shutting down brands, converting brands, moving stores around, shrinking stores, and, you know, discussing with shareholders and banks about financing. That's behind us now.
Okay.
So management and staff are now entirely focused on three things.
Okay.
Number one is get the product right.
Mm.
Okay. Most of the clothes that we sell in our stores are private brands. They're designed by our buyers and internal designers, and they're manufactured here in South Africa.
Okay.
So we just need to give the freedom and support to those talented young people.
Okay.
Let them design the clothes that they know our customers want, and support them with enough working capital, with enough finance, so that we can put that stock on the floor. So that's absolutely number one. You can't run a retailer without that.
Okay.
Secondly, we've got to improve our service.
Yeah.
Now, some of the reason why the service is bad is because our staff have been unhappy. Our employees have been unhappy. They've had bad stock. They've watched bad decisions. I still think they're a talented bunch and that they really want to be successful and serve customers. But when we give them the products, I think they will engage more with customers and give much better service. So that would be the second thing.
Yep.
And the third thing that, you know, you told the story in the beginning about your mother.
Yeah.
She would have relied heavily on credit at that stage.
That's true.
And you know, it's really a young person's story. You come out of school or you come out of some sort of post-school education, you've got no money.
Yeah.
You've got a small income, which you get in your first job. You need some help with credit. There are stories that everyone got their first credit a store account with Edgars or Jet or Sales House. So we need to bring back that high quality, low cost, easy to administratively get. Obviously, we've got to stick to the regulations and offer a really, really good credit offering because that is an essential part of the Edgars and Jet experience.
It has actually been. But with regards to fast fashion, all people talk about retailers such as H&M being able to respond very quickly to, I guess, whether Beyonce is wearing a new dress and be able to almost match it overnight. How is Edgars going to get onto that at fast fashion? Or is it something that you want to get onto?
Yeah, absolutely. We have no choice. It was really, I think, in the South African market, probably Zara who changed the market.
Yep.
I don't think H&M do it any better than we do. But
really,
I do agree there's some element of let's get Beyonce's outfit into the store.
Yeah.
However, we're noticing a trend, by the way, that South Africans are looking less to the US and Europe for fashion. We're actually looking to ourselves for fashion at the moment. So it's very much about self-expression and individuals creating their own look that suits them and their body type. So that's a bit of a change. Mm. But what fast fashion really means is we can take some risk and buy, let's say, 1,000 units of an item, and we put them in stores, and we note the sales rate. And if the sales rate is good, we order some more, and those items arrive before we run out of the 1,000.
Okay.
That's what fast fashion is. Okay. Because, you know, we're guessing every time that we put a garment out there. We don't know if it's going to sell. We hope it will. And then if it sells, we've got to order more. Otherwise, if we order too much, it's very expensive to clear and get rid of. So, and the way that you do fast fashion is you've got to manufacture locally. So you've got to have a very close relationship between your suppliers. They hold the fabric back in the factory, because, of course, fabric takes, you know, 6 months to 9 months to create. So they hold the factory, the fabric for us. We put in the order, and they can get it into our stores within 4 weeks. And the local, the South African and regional manufacturing industry is actually very good at that. If you import from the East or Europe, it takes 9 months.
9 months get you. All right. Grant, I'm going to ask you to hold on just so we can complete this conversation. I'm just going to switch to Power Headline News and get back to our conversation with regards to Edgar's. The time now is just past 7:30, a time for Power Headline News.
Power Business, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Fridays, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
Welcome back. And as we continue our discussion with Edcon CEO Grant Patterson on just the turnaround of that giant of a retail in this country, Grant, with regards to online retail, I mean, with your sheer size, can Edgar's not better compete than, I guess, your rivals in the retail space, in especially in this environment, by using your significant buying power?
Yes, we can. You know, and whilst we currently seized with the challenge of shrinking space because we opened too much, shortly coming down the train, coming down the track, is going to be a much bigger shift to online sales and therefore more space closures. You know, that's the results of online retail. So absolutely, we're going to focus on the Edgar's brand. It's got the widest range. Mm-hmm. And we have it all online, and all our products available online. Mm-hmm. It's not brilliantly done. I think it's an okay offering, but we're going to invest quite heavily over the next year in turning that into a world-class offering.
Are we underestimating just how fast this is going to hit us? I was reading a book. I'm still in the process of reading a book about just how U.S. retailers saw online as a distant threat until Amazon is what it is now. Are we also in a stage where we are kind of underestimating just how potentially the growth is in online retail?
Actually, I don't think so as a country. You know, we have quite a number of dedicated online players in each category, and they're certainly doing everything that the big global players are doing. I think the Southern consumer is slightly behind in this respect.
Yep.
You know, our internet infrastructure is slightly behind, and you know, nothing's ever 100% predictable. You know, how the millennials responded to online, is the Generation X and then the Generation Ys are going to do it differently, and you know, it may be possible that it becomes very fashionable to go into a store and buy again, you know, while you have to wait, you know, while online retailers boast that they can have the item to you in 24 hours, I can boast to you that you can come into our store and buy and walk out with the item. You know, you'll get it 5 minutes later. So, you know, I think we just need to stay on trend, respond to customers' need, not try and force it too hard and not try and stop it happening. Customers must lead us in the direction they want.
And like big chains globally have spoken about improving customer experience when it comes to getting into the stores and so on, and staying and almost getting the customer to stay much longer. I mean, how do you do that outside of building, I guess, coffee stores inside your stores?
Yeah, I do think we mustn't get confused that customers come to our stores to shop for home beauty and apparel. You know, not sure coffee shops are the right way to go.
Yeah.
In a society which is full of malls, each mall must have 10 coffee shops.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. So, you know, I don't think that's the way. What I do think, though, is the technological world, cell phones, Wi-Fi connection, means that customers expect much more information when they're looking at the garment than they're used to getting.
Yeah.
You know, at the moment, what you do is you get a garment, you can see it, you get the size, and you get the care label, and that's about, and the price, and that's about it. So it must become possible to scan that garment, find out where it was manufactured, give us some more information about it, find out who else bought it. You know, the same sort of experience that you get online should be possible in store if we are to survive in store. And that's certainly possible. You know, there's no reason why you can't scan the garment and get all the information that you would get when you shop Amazon.
Mm. Yeah, it makes sense. But I mean, we've got one question I have to ask, just a silly question for myself. I mean, Edgar's never went into grocery. Like, when I look at Woolworths' story, that Woolworths food has almost been their core of the business now. It almost makes up more than 50%. Was that in the past, way back, was that ever a consideration way before your time, that Edgar's goes into that almost as in a similar vein that Woolworths did?
Certainly from what I'm aware, is Edgar's never tried that.
Never tried that, yeah.
However, the Jet brand sold food for a while in a brand called Jetmart.
Okay.
We sold groceries and FMCG products. We never went into fresh, but certainly it was all possible to buy from Jet. But, you know, I don't think that's the solution. Woolworths is a very unique business based on Marks & Spencer. You know, I think copying competitors is not a good idea.
Yeah.
Let me just say, however, I'm a Woolworths food shopper. I think it's fantastic.
Now, CNA, I mean, in hindsight, I've had Chris Gilmore. I'm sure you've spoken to people like Sid Vinil and Chris Gilmore. It's not the best of deals. It hasn't proved the best of deals for Edgar's. There's been a change in its layout and a refresh as well. But what is your view of CNA? Let's talk about it. This is our deal maker segment after all.
Yeah, so the fact that it's still there must reflect that I think there is a possibility of repairing that business. You know, we've shut down a lot of other businesses. So the fact that I haven't shut it down, I think must reflect that I do somewhat believe in it. And I'll tell you why.
Yep.
As I look at that category, you know, what is CNA lost its way, but what is it really good at? It's good at stationery, and it's good at education. Mm. Okay. Yeah, it's not good at music and books and games and DVDs, and it happens to also be good at magazines. But it's not a photographic store.
Yeah.
What it is stationery and education. Now, as I walk through malls, I don't see a lot of stationery and education offerings. You know, so certainly what I've discussed with the landlords is, you know, I say to them, okay, let's pretend we shut the CNA store because it's unprofitable.
Yep.
Where are the customers going to buy a wide range of stationery, where they're going to buy their study guides, where they're going to buy their educational toys, where they're going to buy these magazines? You know, there are magazines there that you can't get anywhere else. And I think I've sensed that everyone thinks, actually, no, we do want the store around.
Yeah.
But it must just be run properly, and we must get our costs in line with the revenue. We know what the revenue is. We know what the margin it can produce is, and we can certainly run within those costs. It's a matter of me repositioning the store portfolio such that we have better rents, essentially. That's all that's left to fix in CNA. I think it's a well-run business.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great experience. We don't get many complaints about CNA.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a matter of working with the landlords to get the store portfolio right, so our rent per square meter is less than our profit per square meter.
All right. Now, in regards to Jet, your thoughts on Jet and its future?
Yeah, I think Jet is a fantastic business. It's a much, you know, it sells a very similar range of products to Edgar's, but it's a much smaller store. You know, the average Jet store is probably 700 square meters, with the average Edgar's stores is probably 3,000 to 4,000 square meters. It's a discounter, so it sells private brand at discount, much lower prices than Edgar's, but it provides a full range of ladies, men's, kids, shoes, and some home beauty and baby. So it has a very similar mix to Edgar's, just in a smaller format. I do think that business has maneuverability and brand power that make it a people's favorite. You know, I think it's been part of everyone's lives. I think its customer base is growing, whereas you could argue for a while that Edgar's customer base was shrinking. So I do think Jet is well positioned, and again, if run properly and delivers to what people think Jet should give them, I think it'll be a successful business as well.
Now, when you were brought into Edcon a couple of years ago, the view was then that you were here to fix the business, make the difficult decisions, and prepare the company for eventually a return to the JSE. If you were to make a call right now, where is Edgar's, if the journey is to return to the JSE, where is Edcon now in that journey? If indeed that was the case.
Yeah. So let me paint out a couple of scenarios. I think that's the best way to look at this. So I think it's possible. I've got between 8 and 12 quarters. That's how we manage our business. A quarter is 3 months.
Yep.
So 4 in a year. So we've got, I can count them. I'm 12 quarters I've got to turn the business around and make it. And what that means, turn around, by the way, is survive on its own cash resources. So we don't have to go back to shareholders or banks.
Mm-hmm.
Who won't give us any more money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So Let's say we're successful. We've passed quarter one. I can give it a tick. We've made our targets.
Yep.
If we pass all 12 quarters, I think Edcon probably would remain as it is. The current shareholders would want to exit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most likely exit opportunities would be a relisting.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that would be success, you know, scenario number one. Then there's a mid scenario, which was, let's say we have make substantial progress in turning the business around, but still require to raise some more money. I think there is some chance the group would be broken up. So Edgar's Jet, CNA, and our Thank You Financial Services business would exist, but perhaps not in the same group.
Yeah.
You know, and this is not unusual. You know, big retail holding companies often change shape, and the bits and pieces end up with someone else. You know, CNA has been owned by five different companies over the years.
Yep.
So I think we've got that scenario. And, you know, between those two scenarios, you know, we're perhaps at 90% chance. And then there's the scenario where, you know, what I'm talking to you about now doesn't work.
Mm.
The economy gets worse, and the thing doesn't turn around and make a profit and doesn't satisfy anyone's test that it is savable. Mm. And then ultimately it would have to be, you know, shut down.
All right, that's hopefully it never gets to that. But in closing, as we close this interview, and this has been a fascinating interview with you, can I imagine Edcon almost following like a Zara type model? Is that something that I can, in the future, almost play with the idea, toy with the idea of Edgar's being a bit like Zara in how?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
This is an important thing to understand about. To perhaps maybe a small lesson in retail strategy. You know, a mass market business. So, yep. You know, Zara might have in South Africa 50,000 square meters of stores, I'm guessing. But let's say it's got 50.
Yep.
Edgar's and Jet is 1 million square meters.
Jeez, yeah.
You know, so 200 times more space.
Yeah.
So there is no, you know, Zara is focused at a very, very particular, wealthy, high fashionability, aspirational customer. Okay, there aren't enough of those people to satisfy a business that has 1 million square meters.
Yeah.
So we only have really one choice in Edgar's and Jet is we've got to target our business at families, which is almost everyone. You know, you know, there's the odd person who isn't going to buy clothes for their kids or for their cousins for presents or for themselves for work or for weekend wear or for parties. You know, most of us live a very similar life. You know, maybe with different income levels, Edgar's and Jet must cater for 80 to 90% of the population.
Right.
Zara will cater to 1% of the population.
All right. No, thank you very much for your time and this fascinating interview with regards to the future of Edcon in our Dealmaker segment. Edcon CEO, Grant Patterson, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.